Hey, good morning. We got some great music. Coffee's on. You're not going to believe what we got today. We have an author right here in Paris. The book is called From Woodstock to Eternity. John Cooper and his wife Lisa are with us today. Morning, John.
Hey, Charlie. Good to see you.
And Lisa, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. You got an incredible story, John. It's just one of those you just can't believe. Your book is excellent. I want everybody to go out and get a copy. Good morning again. We are glad you're listening today. We're going to have a blast. We're talking about Woodstock. Some of you folks out there know all about it. You listen to the music. John, tell us you've been there.
No, I've been to Woodstock. There's two kinds of people in this world, those that are still in Woodstock and those who left Woodstock.
And I'm assuming you left? Yeah.
I left, yeah.
Now, wait a minute. You don't look a day over like 30, you know, so.
Yeah, well, I was pretty young. Yeah, I was 18 years old.
18, yeah. And you got a book all about that, and we're going to discuss that, you know. I'm going to turn to Lisa for a minute, your wife. You've been married how long now?
We've been married, it'll be 33 years in June.
Okay, do you remember him back in those days? You didn't go to Woodstock with him, did you?
No, I didn't go to Woodstock. I was in the sixth grade when he was in Woodstock.
So you didn't even hear about her or nothing. You didn't know what was going on.
I robbed the cradle.
Yeah. Well, what'd you think about him writing a book about this?
Well, of course, over the years, we've talked about things in his past, and I learned along the way how things went. But by him writing this book, it really has helped me to understand his philosophy behind why he does certain things and why he thinks or how he thinks. And so it's been very interesting.
After 33 years, you're finally kind of
getting to know him a little better.
Yeah. Now, you and John and my family, my wife, David, we go kind of back several years.
Yeah.
Christian Fellowship. You guys used to come over to the church and cook for us on Wednesdays.
Right.
And you are homeschoolers?
We've homeschooled. We have seven children, and we've homeschooled for 23, 24 years, and I'm done. And our children are all grown young adults now with children of their own, and I'll tell you, time marches on.
And you homeschooled every one of them?
I did, yes.
By the way, Lisa, I'm going to put a homeschool program together here. I've got somebody in mind that's going to talk. We just haven't been able to get together. But I did tell my listening audience a long time ago that I was going to put a homeschool program together. So it's coming. We're just trying to get it all together so we can work on that. But homeschooling is great.
It is. It's very rewarding, and I would do it all over again. If I had to, I would sure do it over again, because it's been nothing but a blessing in our lives, but also in our children's lives, because they're each other's best friends,
right?
And they love each other. So.
And real quick before we talk, I know everybody wants Woodstock, talk to John, but you just had two in your family. You got rid of them out of, tell us
two,
about that.
Yeah, we just had two weddings. One was in November, one was in December. So we are just really excited. That makes four out of the seven that are married. And we've got six grandchildren now. One is on the way, so we'll count that one as the number six.
Great. Okay, John, they want to hear about Woodstock and stuff.
Yeah, none of this
family stuff right
here. Yeah.
Yeah. What intrigues me about Woodstock, and I think everybody out there listening, is the music. Now, you actually got a chance to hear all those bands?
Well, actually, it rained at Woodstock. One of the anomalies of Woodstock is it was rain and mud and all this. It actually kept me from seeing all the bands on Saturday. We got up there Friday. I saw the Friday night bands. I missed most of Saturday. Saw some of Saturday night, Sunday night. I forget exactly which nights. But I did get down there to see quite a few, but not all of them by any means.
What was your favorite? I mean, Hendrix to me. What was some?
Hendrix was the best. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I woke up Monday morning after being up all night. In the book, part of the whole thing about the book is the hippie lifestyle, including the drug use, because it's important to talk about that, because it's about coming out of that,
right,
as well. But yes, I did a lot of acid at Woodstock, and
right.
I was waking up, and this guy was running up past the tent and saying, Hendrix is playing, like Paul Revere or something, you know. And I ran up there, and it was Monday morning, like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. The bands played all night long.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did. And Hendrix came on about dawn or a little after, and there was only half the people were left there. I guess they had to go to work or something.
Yeah.
But many people say it was probably one of the best performances he ever gave.
Wow. All right. Hey, good morning again. We playing some great music for you. Hope you got the coffee on. We're talking with John Cooper and his wife, Lisa, about a book he put out, From Woodstock to Eternity. John lives here. Been living here how long, John, in Paris?
28 years.
I want to read a little portion out of the book to give you an idea, because this part's funny. I believe this is before Woodstock, isn't it, John?
Yeah, this is 1968, freshman year at Virginia Tech in the town of Blacksburg, Virginia.
And I think you're going to get in a fight. This is funny. In the history of Hardy's Restaurant, there's never been a scene like this. The ramification of a peace treaty between rednecks and hippies. Corporate doesn't even know what happened, although there should be some kind of plaque on the wall. The entire dining room was void of customers. The tables and chairs were strewn over the floor. The open area was filled with mobs of opposing forces. The two negotiators are now surrounded by the whole gang of would-be rioters. They're mixed in a clan of semi-long-haired hippies. The tall high school kids looked around and waved his hands over the assembly. The loud, cantankerous buzzing calms down to quiet hum. He says, "That's enough, you guys. These people ain't causing us no trouble. Just leave them alone." I thought that was a funny part in that book.
Oh, that was a pretty exciting episode there. The purpose of that whole passage was to show that there actually was a point in time where hippies were persecuted by rednecks, especially in small country towns and stuff. Most people now, the tables have turned, and, you know, nobody thinks about long hair or hippies anymore. But when you started growing your hair out long, you received all kinds of abuse, and especially from drunken rednecks. And,
yeah.
And we ended up in almost a big brawl in Hardy's Restaurant.
Yeah. So you were a brawler, too, before, kind of, sort of? Yeah.
Well, only when I had to.
You're kind of mean back in those days, weren't you? Wow. And you talk about some of that. Yeah. Tell us about some of the other things that maybe another funny incident that happened. Can you think offhand of one?
Well, there's an incident there where the airplane's coming in across the coast of Florida and loaded down with pot, and he accidentally buzzes the sheriff's station at 150 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That is funny in the book, yeah.
So that threw them into a tizzy, but...
Yeah, we don't recommend any of that.
No, I don't recommend it. Again, it's laying the foundation for the message of the book.
Right, and the message is deliverance.
Deliverance and transformation.
Right, and how long, John, have you been saved then?
Well, I got... even that's a difficult story, but much of this book is about getting saved, but not wanting to get saved.
Oh, right, yeah.
The main character in this book gets saved, but he doesn't want to live like a Christian. He wants to go back to his old ways. He doesn't even want to leave them, but he can't escape the belief that he has that Jesus did rise from the dead. So he confesses that in a prayer, which would like a salvation prayer, but he ends up going back to his old life. So much of this book is about the struggle of leaving that old life behind.
Right.
And actually, I was delivered finally in 1984. So that was quite a while ago.
Yeah, I got you. So in this book, you're going to read a struggle when you see things going on, like the fighting going on at Woodstock. It's like, wait a minute, it's peace and love and joy in here. Fighting going on. You know?
I saw the only fight at Woodstock.
Oh, yeah. The only one? Oh, yeah. Okay. But you talk about a lot of things and things that today, briefly, affect us today. It's pacifism. How do you say that?
Pacifism.
And then the idea of free love. And then the sharing, which has taken on the socialist shift. And then the political correctness. All that Was that back in those days, back in the Woodstock days, or was that tend to?
Yeah, the point of all that is that the hippie movement died out, like we said, but the ideals of the hippie movement are still with us today. And basically, it's like the ideals were good intentions, but they were wrongly applied.
Mm-hmm.
And so peace is good. Everybody agrees with that. But
right.
when you're such a pacifist that you won't fight your enemies or you won't help to deliver other people that are oppressed, and which requires a use of force, then that's a wrong interpretation, in my opinion.
Right. Well, okay. Get your second donut, second cup of coffee. This is a fun interview, isn't it, John?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love talking about this. That's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is that after I told everybody about it, they were like, oh, what about this? What about that?
Yeah. And so people pick up the book, they're going to read an underlying philosophy. You weren't saved in these times, so you have a philosophy kind of going on through the book.
Well, I try to explain through the hippies' eyes what their philosophy was, so people can get a grip on, you know,
right.
what was the attraction. Most people see muddy hippies and don't think it's very attractive.
Right.
But anyway, I also do it to lay the groundwork for the change.
Right. Lisa, you mentioned a good thing, because people reading this book. Who would this book be addressed to, and who would you suggest that might be helpful to them?
I think anybody that has any addiction, anybody that's involved in celebrating recovery, no matter what it is, whether it's drinking, drugs, whether it's even ideals, this book addresses everything. And I just say, if the Lord can heal and deliver John from all the things that he's been through in his life, he can do that for everybody. So it's a very good book to be able to see the hope that we have in Jesus to deliver us and to give us all that we need.
Right, right. I've got another quote I want to read out of your book, John.
All
it's
right,
on
great.
Page 183.
Okay.
And it says, just keep in mind what I'm saying. The righteous values that your culture espouses come from the foundation of Christ. There is one big difference. I think you were trying to say this. You said it in the book, but you tried to say it earlier on the program. You're trying to apply the principles of Christ, but you don't want to follow the lifestyle of Christ. However, the power for the principles come through the lifestyle. You want to have your cake and eat it too. You want the heavenly benefits of peace and harmony, along with the earthly benefits of physical pleasure. It doesn't work that way.
No, it really doesn't. Trying to delve into, you know, why the principles of peace and love just didn't work out. And I think most people would say that they were founded on Christian principles. I mean, they've been around ever since Christ, you know, peace and love. But mixed in with it was an insatiable desire for self-pleasure. Self-gratification. And that led to more and more experimentation, deeper and deeper involvement in drug use, and basically it turned the focus from giving to others to satisfying self.
Selfishness.
So when
right.
you're number one, then the sharing and all that goes out the window.
Right, and you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. One part it says, once the ideology goes and the self-nature kicks in, it's Katie, bar the door.
That's right.
So basically that's what happened.
Well, if anybody went to any some of the rock festivals that happened after those days,
yeah. Bull
you
Island.
Would see, just total depravity, total, you know, when they say sex, drugs, and rock and roll, they mean it, you know.
Right. And that was the place where they burned down the stage and raided all the food trucks, and people were in mayhem. And
well, that
just
was
craziness.
A rock festival. It's fairly nondescript. I don't think it got a lot of press, but it was one that the main character Dustin Morgan went to, and in the book, and it basically exemplified, you know, all the
depravity.
Yeah, the extents that it could go to, which is quite amazing, unbelievable, actually.
Right. Well, the Bible does tell us that a heart is deceitfully wicked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, John, we're going to close out with a band called Plum and Jeff Deo. And I think you're going to like Jeff Deo music. It's a little rocky, but a little more mellow, too. And appreciate you coming out. And I want everybody to buy the book. Similar places you can get the book.
Okay. Well, first of all, here in Paris, the Living Water Bookstore has them, and I want everybody to go down and get them. You can actually get them a little bit cheaper there than if you went online. But if you want to go online, it's at Amazon.com. Just search From Woodstock to Eternity in the search window, and you can get it there on paperback and Kindle. And I also have a Facebook page, From Woodstock to Eternity. I invite everybody to come and like my page.
Yeah, and you,
and I have a website, FromWoodstockToEternity.com, that's a blog that I'm contributing to and putting posts on.
Well, thank you for writing the book. I think it's an eye-opener, and highly suggest you pick it up and read it. It's great.